Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Inside History, made June 2016, so it's a fair while ago. And as in cardiac rehab, I'm trying to read, interestingly, for 40, hopefully getting up to 50 minutes, and hopefully I'll finish a large fraction of this magazine here. Now, one of the things is going through, it's not to read the, I suppose there's bits on, basically how would you rate Australia in terms of appreciating its, women's history. It's a cup of tea with Anne Summers, author, journalist and feminist. Look, I'll read that section. There's the next section I've got up is the stories on using genealogical apps, which I sort of now realise there's a huge amount of ethical issues for it, because you can't predict in future who's going to have access to it and who, for ethically complex reasons, doesn't require their genetic information to limit what they can do. Okay, so this is called A Cup of Tea. Anne Summers, author, journalist and feminist. In a newly revised edition of her 75 classic Damned Whores and God's Police, Anne Summers explores what's changed for women since and what hasn't. Here she shares her insights on Australian women's history. 41 years on from the original publication of your landmark book, how would you compare women's standing in society between now and then? The world is so different in many ways, and yet in some things haven't changed a lot. What has changed for women's lives quite profoundly is the fact that it's now against the law to discriminate against them. It's on par with women being able to vote, women being able to have custody rights to their own children, and women being able to keep the pay they earned when they did jobs. These are all things women didn't have access to in the past century. And it took until the 70s, 80s and 90s, so that it's a huge difference when suddenly you had a law of the land acknowledging that it was no longer permissible to discriminate against women. The Sex Discrimination Act of 1984 was a federal act that outlawed discrimination on the grounds of sex or gender, marital status, being pregnant, and also covered sexual harassment. Now, we already had, since 69, several court rulings that made it against the law not to pay equal pay. As we all know, that's been fairly meaningless. We've had an average of 18% gap in pay that men and women get, and it's much, much higher in certain occupations and certain industries. So that remains a very perplexing injustice that's absolutely no justification whatsoever, yet it continues to happen. The fact that we now have political legal rights that we didn't 100 years ago is incredibly important. Now there's virtually no jobs that women cannot and do not do. That is a huge change compared to what it used to be. I can feel my reading really improving. Here's a beautiful thing. So overall, it's not the actual podcast I'm doing. The content is more, I'm more concerned about reading. During your research, were you surprised by women of early generations before you had faced? Oh, yes. One of the most outrageous things was the fact that until the 19th century, women were considered the property of their husbands and therefore had no right of their to their own children. They had no right to their own money. So if they did have a job, which is fairly useful in the middle class women, the money they earned at the job did not belong to them. It belonged to their husbands, so they had no ability to have control of their lives economically. That's something that we've just cannot imagine today, that your hard work and you're not alone allowed to keep money. Now, this is actually a very interesting thing, because there's the intellectual property is still on that level, called the Master Servants Act. So if you're working for something, everything that you think and do is owned by the employer, because it's obviously that's changed a bit. What can we expect from your newly revised book, which is this Damned Whore and God's Police? What we've done is bring together all of the old editions, so the 41 years of the book between one set of covers. I had written an introduction to each of the previous editions, so you can now read them. The one for 75, 94, 2002, 2016. They're a little like history itself of things at each of those years. What I've tried to do in the 2016 introduction to the book, at whether look at whether or not the damned whore and God's police stereotypes of women still persist. And I argue that they do. That's right. Well, God's police. The one thing I've done, which hopefully is going to be useful for students and anyone who's writing about women's history, is update the timeline of women's achievements that first appeared in the 2002 edition. It goes back to 1788 and ends in November 2015, with Michelle Payne riding the winner of the Melbourne Cup, the first woman to do so. You can see at a glance when the first Australian woman won the Academy Award, when the first Australian woman got into Parliament, and when we first got certain legislation, and many, many more facts. And I want to be a really useful and reference point for checking when these things happened. I don't know whether it's I've improved or this is easier to read than a science journal. What resources did you use when researching the milestones? I had a researcher to help me update the timeline. You used a combination of printed sources, parliamentary sources, and of course whatever we could find online to add to the basic timeline of events since 2002. We also added new categories, domestic family violence to the existing categories, childcare and parental leave, fertility control, political rights, so it's easy to find information on these specific subjects. At the end, we have a list still to come. Back in 2002, we had the first female Prime Minister still to come. Well, we've ticked that one. Now we're still waiting for the first leader of the Federal Opposition, the first Archbishop of the Anglican Catholic Churches, the first Chief of Australian Defence Force, the first Chief of Justice of Australia, the first Premier of South Australia, even though South Australia is the first state to give women the vote. It's the only state that hasn't had a women premier. And finally, equal pay for an equal women for all employed women. How would you rate Australia in terms of appreciation of women's history? I think we're pretty ignorant of women's history. We have a Women's History Month, but it really doesn't receive much attention. In the United States, it's something that the President makes a proclamation about, and it's something that's supported by key institutions of American society, particularly in Washington. We have nothing like that here, and it's a great shame because women's history ought to be celebrated and ought to be a field of living study that continue to build on. What can we learn from studying women's history? A big question, it's a big question, but it's the question because one of the things we learn from history, first of all, about who we are today and the forces that shaped us. That's why I originally wrote the book in the 70s. My idea was to try and form an understanding of how it was that mateship was seen as such a fundamental theme of our society. Why was everything built around men and their relationships with others? Women barely got a look in. That's my starting point, and then it became a much broader project when I decided to look at the question, why are women regarded as good women and some as bad women? How does it all work? To understand how that was, why that had occurred, and why it persisted throughout, it taught us a lot about ourselves. You have to understand your own history if you're ever going to change it. And that's a continuing project because obviously things change. One of the things that I say in the new 2016 introduction, let's look at who are the damned whores of 2016. Originally, of course, it was female convicts, but in 75 I said the women who were regarded as the damned whores of the era were the prostitutes, lesbians. They were very much a hidden part of society, nothing like today, and women in prison. They were the three categories of bad women then. Today the big question is, who are the women who are the other, the ones who are regarded as not being part of the mainstream society? We have various reasons for shunning these women, so it's raising a whole lot of questions that are hopefully a little bit uncomfortable, things that we don't like to talk about, but we should. Okay, that's an interesting book. I'm glad that I stopped reading that. It's a bit difficult. The latest news has broken up and it's really difficult to read across. But one thing I do want to read is the history online. Now, the interesting thing is that if you put your app on a database and make it available for searching, it allows people to actually construct a logical data prison to encapsulate people. Now, there's always the great thing of capturing a multiple murderer, but it also can create a prison to limit your opportunities. There's so many ethical aspects of it, and people really don't know, and they're really running headlong into it. So it's history online. Though hardly harrowed by the passing of time, these apps and websites harness the latest technology to help you link to the past in morbid and interesting ways. Sarah Trevor road tests four of the latest to see how they fare. There's four apps. Now, what I really want to say is that, this seem okay. It's just, there's just so much to worry about that the people who go into this, don't necessarily think about the ethics. And it's sort of like this, apps that are sort of, so individualized that they sort of can creep and ease into society and people can, and use them. Whereas, you know, previous generations, it was, a piece of technology was a broad piece of technology. It took a lot to invest and a lot to get up, and it was universally accepted. These apps are come in and quickly go and die. It's a sort of like an ecosystem, a rapid evolution ecosystem of them. But however, I just despair that people can't necessarily, the people who make a moral decision to put information of others online, they're not going to understand or respect the opinions or of others. And I don't necessarily have an opinion, but I would want a big, broad discussion before you go on this. So this is Everly's Stories. This is one app. Free desktop compatible. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.